Well, good morning again. We are we're landing the plane. You know when the plane starts to circle, you know, and the runway is getting prepared. We're on our last 2 weeks of wisdom.
So 3 hour circle?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So we are coming in, you know, the series, and I just always shudder. I'm like, oh, these are so long, but they're so good, and it's hard for me to stop. At least the pastor thinks they're good. Get so excited and studying these out. And there's always ends up being so much more. Imagine that. There always ends up being so much more in the Word of God than I anticipated. And you start digging in and you're like, there's such richness in here. So we're finishing up this Sunday, next Sunday are going to be the same thing. We'll get to that in just a second. But we've done this huge series on wisdom, and I've got some verses that we haven't seen before. Some are going to be repeat or whatever, but some new material as well. And I've got a verse up there that I want to show you guys, and it's really the reason. It's a verse out of Proverbs, and it's really kind of the hinge point of the whole wisdom series. And we've not shared this one yet. And it's why we're studying wisdom. And it's this, which I'm sure this doesn't apply to any of you, but still read the verse because it might apply to someone that you know. A person's own folly or foolishness leads to their ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord. In layman's terms, you're messing up your own life, but you're mad at God because things aren't going your way. When I saw that verse when I was in my early 20s and I'd just given my life back to the Lord, I saw that verse in Proverbs and I went, oh, that's me. Right? And how many times, I mean, I'm sure none of you, or if it was you, it was a long time ago. I'm positive, right? You would never be this verse, right? You would never do something foolish and then be like, God, why is this happening? Okay, so this is all for other people, right? Just smile. But so often, isn't this human nature? And we just, God, things aren't working out. You're frustrated. And the Holy Spirit's like, have you been following my word? Just, have you listened to the nudges that I've been giving? Just, I'm just upset. Have you, you know, gotten counsel and wise counsel on this? Just, God, listen to me. I'm really upset right now. And we just live out this verse a lot. I live out this verse sometimes because just right, you guys are exempt from this. But our own foolishness leads to our ruin and our heart rages against God. And I just, we don't have to shoot ourselves in the foot. We don't have to. If we get into the wisdom of God, like, yeah, we're going to heaven, but God has put the reins of how we want that ride to look like. Okay, the horse knows where it's going. You're going to get to the promised land, but you get to decide if you're going to hit all the rocks or not. Okay? No? I tried a horse analogy, Jim. I thought there'd be kind of horse and cart people here today. They could relate. No one's relating today. I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. The path is set, okay? If you love Jesus and you've surrendered your life to him, you're going to heaven. Praise God. But it's up to you. The reins are in your hands to decide how you want that ride to go. And that's wisdom or lack of it. And so that's been this whole series on wisdom is how can we smooth out our life? How can we not sabotage things? Yeah, I still love God and he still loves me and we're good. But if I wouldn't do this or if I would have followed this advice or if I would have learned this, boy, the ride would have been a lot smoother. You ever wish the ride was a little smoother some days? Yeah, I'm sure it's everyone else's fault, but I'm just saying. For what we can control, wisdom gives us some maneuverability in that. So, moving along. I can see you guys aren't very happy with this, so we're just going to move to the next slide. The slide for the next 2 weeks is this. Stephen cracked it open last week. If you've not listened to Stephen's message from last week, that was phenomenal. So this is going to be a lot of rehashing of that. The next week is going to be a little more of the same, but a whole bunch of new concepts as we answer this question. So the bad news, there's going to be a test. Good news, it's open book and the answers don't matter. I mean, they matter, but I really want this to be, as we're closing out, man, we've heard about Solomon and David and the motives, and we've discussed wisdom, and for the last few weeks, we've learned about the, do you guys know the three? The simpleton, the fool, and the mocker. And what do we do with a mocker? Flog a mocker. If you've not been here for that, please say flog a mocker. Yes, it rolls off the tongue. I had another pastor in town corner me this week. He said, listen, I don't know what you're teaching out there, but I heard that you've got new Christian cuss words. Someone came and told me that they say flogamocker now. He's like, what are you doing? And he was just joking, but we were just having a little fun with that. I'm like, well, it's better than the alternatives. You can say flogamocker. So we love saying that just because it's a fun word. But we've discussed all that. So as we end here, some of this is going to be review, but I just wanted to consolidate it all. I wanted to just put it in one spot, and there's going to be five or six things that we go through today. And I would just love for you to rank yourself 1 to 10, 10 being awesome, or make up your own scale, you know, rabbit to deer. I don't know, however you want to rank yourself, and see if it's towards the end of, I don't do this very well, or are you more towards the end of the spectrum of, yeah, I'm nailing, because we're answering the question, how do I know if I'm wise? Right? On a series on wisdom, wouldn't we like to be able to answer the question, Pastor, we've been with you the whole way, but I got a question. Am I wise or not? Someone asked me that question. Okay, well, how do we know if we're wise or not? So Stephen took a fillet knife and slit that right down the middle, and he began to open that up for us last week, and he did such a good job. And so you're going to recognize some of the concepts we talk about today. Some of the verses are going to be different, but as we go through, let me just start with a chunk of a verse that I ended with the last time when we talked about mockers. It's in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. Whoever corrects a mocker invites insults. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they'll love you. Instruct the wise, they'll be wiser still. Teach the righteous and they'll add to their learning. Let me drill down on this section of scripture a little bit. I'm going to take a little chunk out of there. Here's what we're looking at today. Do not rebuke mockers, or what will happen? They will what? Hate you. Everyone say hate. They will hate you. If you take, okay, I want you to pretend like you're the person doing the rebuking, okay? Pretend that you're the one doing the rebuking. And let's say that it's a mocker and a wise person, all right? Two different people. And let's say that you're rebuking them both. They're both doing the same thing. Right? They both have the wrong attitude or wrong actions or whatever. So you're going to rebuke both of them. So you haven't changed. In this scenario, the rebuke is exactly the same. But I want you to look at the targets here. One responds with hating you. But here's the thing. Rebuke the wise, and what will happen? They will love you. We heard Stephen's story last week about his friend from college that gave him a rebuke and said, boy, I wish you would take your own advice. And that was a rebuke for him. And he said he had to work through it a little bit, but he loved him for it because it was true. And he needed to hear that. And remember what we said about the difference between the fools and the mockers? Stephen mentioned it last week. A fool hates wisdom. A mocker hates you. A fool hates wisdom, but a mocker hates you. So what is a rebuke? Let's look at the word rebuke. Do not rebuke mockers or rebuke the wise and they'll love you. You'll either get hate or you'll get love. It means to reprimand, to strongly warn, or to restrain. And the Hebrew word is translated other places in Scripture as to prove something, to decide something, to judge something, to rebuke, to reprove, to correct. I don't know about you, but this is not a popular word in 2021. Just spend a little bit of time on social media or just with anyone that's breathing. People are not hip to the rebuke these days. You know what word is right in there? Starts with a J and ends with an udge. We don't want it. You can't judge me. Nobody can judge me. Oh, you're just judging me. Oh, guess what? The Word of God says that you should do that in a way that's helpful and like not in your not your guys's, but not in the dumb way that people want to be on a power trip and attack someone and say, I'm just giving a godly rebuke. No, you're not. You're just creating enemies. But in the way that wise people want to walk and give godly rebukes that will just, like Stephen's friend did, and just challenged him. And I can just remember some sharp rebukes over my life, you know, from, you know, all kinds of people that I respect. And boy, they sting. What does a rebuke feel like? Knocks the wind out of you, makes you mad, punches you in the gut. You want to go cry or punch him back in the face? Punch me in the gut with your words, I'm going to punch you in the face with my fist, right? That's kind of our normal reaction, isn't it? So we want to know, how am I responding to this? How do I do with rebukes? That's your first, we'll actually put it up on the screen as number one in just a second, but we're going to look at one more verse first. But how do I respond to that? In answering the question, am I walking in kingdom wisdom or in worldly values? The scale that shows me how I respond to a rebuke will let me know if I'm acting worldly or kingdom. Hang on to your shorts, folks. Because the spirit of the world right now says, you can't tell me anything, and if you do, I'm going to bury you. That is the spirit of the world. The spirit of God, who is all, one of the spirit of God's names is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Spirit of wisdom. The wisdom of God says, if it's a life-giving rebuke, I respond with gulp. Okay, let me check into that. Ouch, that hurt. And you examine your own heart to see if there's some truth in that. Man, and part of any success that I'm experiencing today has been from responding to life-giving rebukes in the past. And I can also tell you some train wrecks in my life that were a result of not responding to rebukes in my life. Shut up, old man. You don't know what you're talking about. I mean, not you. I would never say that to you, but right? And that's our first response. And so in grading ourselves on that scale, you want to know if you're wise? It's not a sitting on a mountaintop and spouting off great riddles. No, it's what do you do when someone rebukes you? Ooh, I don't like that kind of wisdom, do I? Yikes. That's toe-stepping wisdom, but it's almost like God said it. It's almost like the Lord said this. I mean, not this part. That's the verse part of it. One more verse for this. If you listen to constructive criticism, you will be at home among the wise. I'm going to give this verse in another version. Whoever heeds life-giving correction will be at home among the wise. Tell you what, of all of the litany of things that are tough to walk through with wisdom, this rebuke one is one that elicits a reaction. In 2021, it's one of the toughest ones for the church to walk through. And I'm just challenging you guys. Everybody listen up. I'm challenging you guys. I'm laying down the gauntlet here. Be people that will listen to a rebuke. Come on, church. Don't get sucked into the spirit of the world. You know what? I'm not going to preach that. Just when we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus, we surrender our rights. And I surrender my right to be offended. I surrender. Doesn't mean I'm a doormat. Doesn't mean you can just sit and abuse me. But at the same time, I don't have to be right. I don't have to get even. I can listen. So where am I at on that scale? Do I accept rebukes? If someone's going to challenge me, hey, you've got a wrong attitude, you've got a, you know, I see this in your life of what you're currently doing. I think you need a course change. And there's a rebuke there. And I like how this verse puts it, a life-giving correction. Come on, guys. Those corrections that are done in the right spirit and in love, but truth, and it still feels like a punch in the gut, those are life-giving. You know, Stephen's story, just, man, took him a while to wrench through that, and he wanted to react against it. But as he sat and weighed it out, he's like, is this really true? All right, if there's any truth to this at all. And I've often done that. I've walked away snorting mad, and I go vent to my wife, or sometimes she's the one giving the rebuke. And I'm just like, ugh! But as I'm walking through it, then I just go, like, lately, I'll just ask, is there any truth to this? Is there any truth to this? Oh, I think they overstated it. They blew it out of proportion. But is there any truth to it? Is there any nugget of truth to what they're saying to me? They rebuked me. Is there any core? Why am I reacting like this? If it's 100% not true, then what do I even care? But if there is any truth to it, am I being defensive because there's some truth in it? Yikes. This just hurts worse the further I go here. So number one, how do I know if I'm wise? I don't let emotions or defensiveness get in the way of wisdom. It's almost like I've got the fruit of the Spirit in my life, right? And I don't have to get offended. I don't have to get offended. Here's a powerful statement here. The number one way for me to sabotage wisdom in my life is my own pride and my own insecurities. You want to know why you're not walking in wisdom? Check there first, okay? Just knock on that door first. See if anybody's home there. If it's not there, then maybe it's the neighbor, right? This is a great place to start. If you feel like you're not walking in wisdom, if you feel like you want to be growing in wisdom, let's stop at this house first and say, all right, am I walking? Is there pride in my life and insecurity that I'm getting defensive and offended when people rebuke me? When the Word of God, we do it with the Word of God as well. The Word of God rebukes us. What do I do when the Word of God rebukes me? What do I do with that? Do I ignore it? Do I get mad? All right, moving on, since you guys are enjoying this one so much, moving on to one that's a little less painful. The second thing, to know if I'm wise, I listen and learn from others. Well, wait, I thought that was number one. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. We're not talking about rebukes anymore. Let's look at these verses. Proverbs 9:9 says, instruct the wise, and they'll be wiser still. Teach the righteous, and they will add to their learning. Do you know it all? We're in church. Everyone's going to be like, no, Pastor. Do you act like you know it all? Do you secretly feel like you know it all? Hey, we're just being real today. I love you guys. I don't want the way that you're looking at me any more than you want to look at me that way. I'm just saying. I want you to like me and say, Pastor, that was a great sermon. We feel so encouraged. What you're feeling right now? Yeah, that doesn't make the pastor feel great. But it makes the work of the Holy Spirit dig into our lives and say, come on, we want you to thrive. And the easy way, just blowing things off and being offended, and I'm not going to listen to that, that doesn't arrive at the destination of wisdom. So, am I open to listening to other people's instructions? Maybe they know something about this. Maybe I don't know all about this. Maybe I can learn. Say learn. The wise learn. Stephen talked about this. How do I know if I'm wise? You're never going to get wise. You're never going to arrive. We're going to keep learning, right? Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son heeds his father's instruction. Thanks, Dad. But a mocker does not respond to rebukes. Instruction is life-giving because we don't know it all. All right, number three, it's going to be kind of the same again. Number three says, wisdom, if I'm wise, I let the wisdom of others help shape my upcoming decisions. So it's not just instruction and it's not a rebuke, but I rely on the wisdom of others to help shape my decision. Because whose choice is it? It's mine. So I can either make the decision on my own, whatever it is, you know, eat cereal, you know, run away from home, you know, whatever decision I'm going to make. Or I can invite the wisdom of others to helping me decide future decisions. So let's look at some verses. Proverbs 12:15. Now we're talking about advice. The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listens to advice. Who listens to advice? Who does? Wise people listen to advice. Well, those people just don't know nothing. Well, just hold on. Let's go back to point number two. Do you know it all? Are you open to instruction? So where are we rating ourselves on these scales? Do I listen to advice? That's about things upcoming. And what we like to do, body language, clenched fists. No, these are my decisions. I'm going to do what I want to do. Don't rain on my parade. Don't tell me I should do it differently. I want to do what I want to do, and I want to do it my way. And so we grip on tightly. And God says, all right, go your way then. Bump your head into the wall, see if, you know, but I've got some great advice. It's just locked up in the hearts and minds of others. But they're willing to unlock that for you if you're willing to listen. So we've talked about rebuking, we've talked about instructing, and we've talked about advice. And they're all a little bit different. We're going to kind of define them a little bit. So a rebuke or a correction, it means to make a judgment against a current action or attitude that I've got. Okay, if someone's going to rebuke me, they're in essence, that's not really what they're doing, but what it feels like is they're attacking something that I'm currently doing. It feels like a personal attack because it might be an attitude or a thought process or a repetitive thing in my life or, you know, something I'm currently walking out. And so rebukes probably sting the most because it's something that's current in me. You're saying I shouldn't say that? You're saying I shouldn't think like that? You're saying I shouldn't do that? What gives you the right to talk to me like that? What gives you the right to speak into my life? Well, if you're wise, you'll give them the right. Oh, hold on. Did you catch that? What gives you the right to speak into my life? If you're wise, you will give them the right. Okay, they didn't get it. What gives you the right to talk to me like that? If you're among the wise, you will give them the right to talk to you like that. They got it. And quiet, they're subdued, but they got it. They get Fern and Josephine, they're wise. They're like, amen. Preach that, Pastor. Instruction or teaching, it's adding knowledge and understanding from others. So in order to capitalize on that, which tells me I'm in the camp of the wise if I'm doing that. So in order to do that, though, I've got to place any kind of value on you. You've got to be valuable. See, if I don't think you know anything, I'm not going to listen to you because I know. It's not a rebuke, but I'm also missing out. The Bible tells me I'm not walking with wisdom when I don't listen to the instruction and teaching of others. Someone might know how to do it better than me. Someone might know how to add something to it. Oh, when you're doing that thing that you do every week, if you would just do this one thing before that, I think it would go so much better. I've been doing this for 10 years this way, whatever. Instruction. Teaching. Open up your mind and open up your heart. Maybe someone has something that they could offer to you that would be beneficial. And wisdom is always looking for that. And the last one, advice, we've kind of already read that, but it's allowing the wisdom of others to help shape your attitudes and decisions kind of towards the future. It's the ones to come yet. It's advice. Hey, let me give you some advice on that. I see that you guys are not getting along. Let me give you some advice. Hey, just we'll work it out. We're fine. Right? Are you going to let people speak into the situations in your life for going forward? Are we going to take advice? Let's read some more verses. Listen to advice and accept discipline. At the end, guess where you'll be counted? Among the wise. Listen to advice. Listen to advice. Here's my question. What do you have to lose? Oh, nobody? Well, I've seen how you guys take advice. What do you have to lose by listening? What do you have to lose? You have zero to lose other than maybe 5 minutes of your time. Listen to advice. Place value on it. Doesn't mean you have to do it, but just listen. Let it marinate in your heart and spirit. Pray about it. God, is this godly advice? Will this help my situation? But we saw it. We're just, right? Everybody thinks they're in the NFL, right? They're just stiff-arming people, right? Horses, NFL. I'll find something that they like by the end of this message. That's my goal. You're just, right? I don't want your advice. Just, you're just walking through life. I'm just, don't, no, I've got this figured out. And we're just stiff arming. I don't just, that's far enough. Just, nope, like this, you tell your wife what you think about my situation. Don't tell me. I don't want to, just, we're good. What do we have to lose by listening to advice? So those first three, rebukes, instruction, and advice, where would you rank yourself? Are you a person that gets instruction from a lot of people? You find that you have many teachers. The Bible would say that you are on a pathway of wisdom. It's not the only thing, but it's one of the things. It's one of the measures. And if not, it's an area that we can grow in. How about advice? Are you listening to anybody speak into situations in your life? You know what? You might get 40 minutes of bad advice, and there might be 30 seconds of the nugget from heaven that you need to unlock your destiny. Still pretty quiet. I don't know. Rebukes? That's just a tough one. But let's not give ourselves to the spirit of offense, the spirit of the world that says, you're not ever talking to me. What gives you the right? Hopefully we do. Because then we'll be counted among the wise. Okay. One more of these where there's strife, there's pride. But wisdom is found in those who take advice. Huh. Funny that they put advice as the contrary position to strife and pride. You ever find a place where there's always lots of bickering? You guys aren't going to respond to anything today, are you? All right. Can I order a new audience? Just teasing. I need some advice, yes. It's bad advice. That's bad advice. Where there is strife, there's pride. And I'm pitting it. The camp that wins is me and me. And I'll tell you about it. And there's strife and contention there. You've never been this person, but have you ever known, don't say it out loud, but have you never known a person that you're like, oh, I want to tell them something. Oh, Jesus, they're just going to get in a fight about it. Hopefully we've not been that person. I've been that person. My wife would say I am that person. I'm growing. That's an area that I've struggled with, and I'm growing in that area. I want to listen. I want to listen to your opinion. It just sounds dumb a lot of the times. And I just hate that later it's going to be right. Jesus, help us. Right? Jesus, help us. Man, we're laying out the case for wisdom here. We're giving you some guidelines. We're giving you a test today. We can rate, where do I feel like I fall? What areas need work? We've got through three of them so far, right? Are we scoring 10 out of 10 so far, or are we more on like the 2.5 end of the scale? I don't know, whichever end you decided was going to be the good end. See, that's the thing with taking your own test. If you feel like you keep falling short, you can just switch the scale. Be like, yeah. Just kidding. That won't help you. That won't help you. We've already talked about this one, but it should be number one because it's the beginning of wisdom. If you're wise, you fear the Lord. Are you cultivating in your life? I just had a conversation with someone last night, and we talked about this. Are you actively cultivating the awe of God in your life? God is God. You can't change him. But you can change your perception of him. So God doesn't get any more awesome by you thinking that he's awesome. You change by thinking he's awesome. You change by positioning your heart to fear the Lord. God, I want to walk in your holiness. I want to walk in your presence. Oh, God, look at that sunset. That's part of the fear of the Lord is experiencing his beauty and his awesomeness and just standing in amazement of him, knowing that God is God, and I'm not. Fear of the Lord. Are we cultivating the fear of the Lord in our life? Are we cultivating that awe-inspiring awareness of his presence. Like, it just like I was part of what I was saying this morning as I was like, don't take this for granted. God is moving. God's healing. He's working in people's lives. And like, even if God heals a hangnail, like that's an expression of the fear of the Lord. I want to give reverence and honor to God. Like, God, you did something incredible. Sure, it was small. It was still amazing. I don't want to rank what God does and be like, okay, God, if you can do above a 7, boy, that'd be cool. Then I'll be like, yeah. Like, I want my heart to respond to God. When I see a flower open, I want to be like, oh, God, that is so awesome. I don't want to take it for granted. I want to cultivate the fear of the Lord in my life. And the Bible says that's the beginning of wisdom. Am I wise? Am I cultivating the awe of God, the fear of the Lord in my life? Am I walking in holiness? Am I keeping my heart in the right spot? Am I letting God judge my attitudes and thoughts as the fear of the Lord pierces my emotions and my spirit? We've read this verse multiple times already. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? Here's a verse that I just saw in my reading the other day. I'm like, oh, we didn't do that verse. Isaiah 33:6. He will be the sure foundation of your times, a rich store of salvation and wisdom and knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Come on, guys, the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Because you know what? If I'm walking in the fear of the Lord, you know what filters down? My pride begins to dissipate because I see God for who he is, and I know that I'm not him. And I also know that I'm probably not right all the time. It means I crack open the ears of my heart to begin to listen to others and advice and rebukes. See, the fear of the Lord, that's what starts that whole process. I can't walk in the fear of the Lord and in pride. I cannot effectively walk in the fear of the awesomeness of God and walk in pride at the same time. That's why it's got to start there. All right, moving on. So they fear the Lord, and you've heard this one already, but the wise give thought to their ways. Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent. Remember when we talked about prudence? The wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, but the folly of fools is deceptions. How many on a scale of 1 to 10? On a scale of 1 to 10, out of the next 100 times that you're going to speak, how many of them did you weigh those thoughts through in your head before you blurted them out? 2 or 99, right? How much are we giving thought to our ways? How many rash decisions did I make this week? How many of my decisions are emotion-based versus wisdom-based? How many impulsive things do I do in my life and then be like, ah, should have thought about that before I did it, right? They're getting even quieter, Jim. We are losing them by the handfuls here today. But me and you, we're going to finish strong. We're going to finish strong. We've only got one left. Do we give thought to our ways? Do we consider the outcome of our lives? I've had a couple conversations with teenagers this week who have been in shock and awe at the inability of other teenagers to think through their actions. They've been like, how can they not think that that's going to turn out badly? That's going to be a trait, like, and it does. And so just two different kids at different times, like, I don't get it. How are, and I'm like, oh, you guys, it's not just teenagers, unfortunately. Older teenagers, you know, in their 50s, 60s, you know, we kind of do those kind of, how can you, wait a minute. Did anybody think this through? Hold on. Who, like, all right, you three, who thought that this was going to be a good idea? Like, did we put this up for a vote? Because this clear, like, you can see, isn't it amazing when you come into a situation from the outside and you don't have any emotional attachment and you'd be like, whoa, that's going to end badly. Like, it takes you like 4 seconds, but everybody else, they're all jazzed up about it and no one's walking in prudence, right? They're just kind of in the moment. You're like, yeah, this is going to be a hospital trip or someone's getting fired for this one. You know, just, you're like, have we thought through this at all? But we get sucked into these moments, right? We're led, emotions or desires. I need this. I gotta have that. I gotta do this. Oh, that went badly. Now I'm trying to repair things. we weren't walking in prudence, were we? Thankful that none of you guys do that, but just let me tell you, it's painful. We want to not be driven by emotional decisions. We want to give thought. What did we call it? The pregnant pause or something like that? I'll have to ask Stephen. We kind of did some short little messages on it. And just before you post on social media, before you speak, before you do, just count to three. Just if nothing else. Just before you hit send, just stop for a second. Just a second. And just say, all right, do I really want to say this? Do I really want to do this? Do I really want to post this? I'll tell you what, I don't claim to be wise, but wisdom in my life has probably deleted more posts than I've shared. This one's not on your screen. This one is not in the notes. This one's brand new, and I'm just going to say it. Point number 5A. If a scale of 1 to 10, how many posts have you posted the first time, and how many have you deleted? If you have not deleted posts, you're probably not in the Y scale, or you're just super self-controlled and you would never think or write anything like that. But I'm just saying, if you haven't caught yourself ever, you're either super godly, and I want you to pray for me, or you're just oblivious to what you're putting out there. And it's just, things are slipping through the wisdom gate, right? The wisdom door's got some holes at the bottom. That stuff's sliding through. You didn't even notice it was leaking out of there. It just went out. I'm just pointing your attention to if you haven't in the last month, if you haven't had, I don't know if I should say that or not. If you haven't had one of those, check yourself. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just trying to say you're human. I'm human, right? We have these thoughts. The devil wants to sow things in our hearts and lives, and we think we know lots sometimes. And sometimes we want to say things. We want to write things. We want to post things. We want to do things. If you haven't had that check, you're either super, super godly or you're clueless. So wisdom would say don't be clueless. Just like think, be prudent. Think before we speak. Doesn't mean you can't say it. Just what have you got to lose? Again, what have you got to lose by just stopping for 10 seconds? What if this next little bit, every response, especially when I feel my emotions, have you ever heard of emotional intelligence? It's kind of a hot topic a couple years ago. It just means being aware of what's going on in me and being aware of what's going on in others. That's just wisdom. It's just biblical principles. What if I stopped just for a few seconds? Every post, every response. What if every time my husband did something dumb, I stopped and bit my tongue for a second first? What if every time my wife annoyed me, I shut up and didn't say something for 5 seconds? Just 5 seconds. Just 5 seconds. Give the Holy Spirit 5 seconds to tell you that you're dumb, right? Because God loves us enough to do that. Yeah, don't say that. In fact, don't even think that. Just move on to something else. All right, we're just about done here. Last one. And Stephen hit this last week as well. The last one, this week's a lot more review. Next week's some fresh stuff on how do I know if I'm wise. But I just wanted to represent this to you so that we can, and I hope that you're really doing this. I hope that you're really doing some self-examination, not to feel guilty, not to feel bad, not to say, gosh, I'm a failure, I'll never be wise. No, so that we can be wise. Guys, the Word of God is presented to us as a tool, as a doorway, as a road of life, so that we don't have to stay stuck. Amen. Raise your hand. Everybody, come on, be with me. Just, you're not with me, be with me for 1 second today. Say, I'm not staying stuck. Put your hands down. All right. Now you can go back to ignoring me. All right. They always keep learning. Proverbs 18:15 says this: the heart of the discerning acquires knowledge, for the ears of the wise seek it out. There's a difference between being wise and being on the path of wisdom. That's why we called it a pathway. Like, And you can be wise. You'll be at home among the wise. You know, the Bible says there are wise people. But guess what? Those wise people, like I love what Stephen said, man, you're never staying in one category for very long. You stay simple long enough, you're going to become a fool. You stay a fool long enough, you're going to become a mocker. You stay in wisdom without adding to that, and you're going to slip into another category that's not good. You can't say, all right, I've made it. I'm wise now. Well, Pastor, how do you know that? Look at the life of Solomon. The wisest man by God's own admission that ever lived. And look at the end of his life. He didn't stay on the path of wisdom. He was wise, but he didn't stay there. He didn't flesh that out all the way through his life. He just got comfortable. And he let other things seep in and he became foolish. Let's stay on the path of wisdom. Amen?
Amen.
Now they're with me because I'm done. Let me pray for you guys. Lord, I just thank you for these beautiful people today. I bless them. And Lord, help our feet to walk solidly on the path of wisdom. God, I pray. Lord, I know some of these things are hard things to deal with. Lord, they're hurtful. They're hard. They're edgy. But Lord, you gave us these commandments and these opportunities to walk in the beauty of wisdom, to avoid the train wrecks in our life. And I just pray, God, that we would have the courage and have the grace of God on our lives to take the step into wisdom today. I pray that we would have great self-evaluations. And if there's areas of our life that we need to work on, Lord, I just pray for the grace of God. I pray that it's not out of frustration or striving. I just pray that as we bring these areas to you, that you would help us to be more according to the word of God in those areas. Help us to take advice. Help us to learn. Help us to walk in the fear of the Lord, God. Help us to be a 10 out of 10 on these areas. Help us to continue to be wise. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.